Hey, Meg Talkers. I hope you're all having a great day. And I'm your great co-host, Abhinav.
And I'm your greater co-host, Satya.
I see how it is, Satya. But anyways, welcome back to Meg Talks, where everything biotechnical rocks. In this episode, we'll be looking at CRISPR gene editing and important and interesting questions and topics regarding it.
Let's check it out.
All right, so first, for all the people out there who don't know what CRISPR is, we got to ask the question, what is CRISPR on the fundamental biological level?
So essentially, CRISPR on a fundamental biological level is just a device which can edit genes, essentially. It can switch out nucleotide base pairs and it can almost create new genes. And this type of technology has been introduced to the world. So for all of you out there, that's what CRISPR is on a basic level.
And CRISPR has been in the news lately with a bunch of other advents like treating cancer, treating other genetic diseases.
Right,
What do you
right.
think is the applicability of CRISPR in the modern world, in modern therapeutics?
I think the possibilities are almost endless. I think the limit's where we put the limit. So, what I mean by that is, with gene editing, we have an infinite amount of possibilities. Like, we can edit as many genes as we can find. We can even find new genes or even create new genes that may have never existed before. And even cause mutations in genes. And for those with diseases like you said, cancer and things like that, maybe CRISPR will allow us to edit genes such that we can find a cure for cancer by, getting rid of a gene that may make these cells grow out of control and duplicate unstoppably.
Yeah, that's actually a interesting idea. And I think their scientists are implementing that in the real world in clinical trials as well. But as you said, with CRISPR able to edit any type of gene in any type of DNA base pair, what do you think about the ethics of editing like while editing embryos and embryos and zygotes while in the womb?
I think that's definitely an interesting question. I mean, to be able to use CRISPR to edit genes for, babies that haven't even been born yet, I think it's really an ethical question because it comes down to the parents' decision and if they're going to allow their baby to be used in a science experiment. It really depends on how the parents view it. In my opinion, that's what I feel. If the parents are okay with it and the scientists are able to carry out a safe and controlled experiment, I think it'll be okay, but in my opinion, I would expect that a lot of parents would say no because this technology is very new and it's like
Yeah.
very experiment based. So that's how it's based on, yeah.
The uncertainty of success is probably what's going to stop many people from going into these trials and, in a sense, sort
Yeah.
of like not knowing if you're going to sacrifice your child in the process. It's sort of this inherent fear for these parents.
Right, exactly.
Also, I heard recently that there was this genetic trial from for a researcher in China where he like changed the embryos of two twins
Right,
in one
right.
mother's womb, and then I think it was to effectively prevent HIV or another sort of genetic disease, like to get resistance. Like he edited the embryo's genome so that they have like a new inbuilt mechanism to prevent such disease,
Right.
and after that. And after that, he published that article. Lots of scientists and researchers around the world in the global research community condemned him, got angry at him, even sent him to jail, I think. And I don't know, it's been a mess since then about CRISPR and the boundaries. It's like sort of a fuzzy area of
Yeah.
when can you use CRISPR and when can you not.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I think that the ethical question with CRISPR is definitely a little gray area. There's no real boundary between right and wrong. It's really dependent on the context and the situation of where CRISPR is being used. And with the incident you were speaking about with the Chinese person who got sent to jail and was condemned for using twins in a research study, I think it definitely boils down to how controlled the experiment was, if the parents were consent. We're giving consent to use their child in an experiment. And it also depends on if it's even okay to be altering our own humanity at times, because we're born with, we're born with some sort of genes that nature has given us. I mean, to be able to alter that, go against nature, it really depends on how you view the world and what your values are.
Yeah, I understand. And also that sort of uniqueness that you get with the, as Darwin said it, every individual has his own, his or her own genetic variety, and every individual is unique in on the genetic level. And with editing that, it just feels a little different to me.
Right.
It
almost seems like we're engineering robots, right? Just biological ones.
Yeah.
Like a manufactured sort of organization. It's not like, it's not natural. It's like an industrial factory that's just producing these, you know, biological robots, right?
Yeah, that's true. Biological industrial revolution, eh? I don't know. That could be the future. But talking about this industrial method, what do you think about like the advent of designer babies that people are mentioning, like where the parents can, instead of like preventing diseases like cancer, they actively choose to select the babies that have high growth hormone regulation, that have this type of hair color, that have this type of whatever physical characteristics, so on, that are not essential to basic living.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Sort of like genetically engineering the perfect baby, right? Like,
yeah. That's what I mean.
I think that's also definitely a question of opinion, but for me and my personal belief, I believe that like genetically engineering the perfect human is going to produce more harm than benefit, because it's our mistakes, our, you know, flaws that make us who we are, and that's how we're able to learn and adapt to society. And if we're just born with a golden spoon in our hand, we're not going to be able to face the, you know, unfortunate truths of this world. And if perfect person, you're not going to learn from your mistakes. You're not going to be able to grow from any flaws you may have, because technically you don't have any. And if another thing, right, if people make these perfect babies, then what's going to prevent one baby from being like almost identical to another baby if they're both perfect?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So a question for you, actually, how would you feel, right, if we were in a society of just perfect babies, all identical to each other, same intellectual vitality, same physical strength, height, color, whatever it is, like how would you feel living in that society?
That's an interesting situation, actually. I mean, I remember reading in literature class about a society or utopian society, I think, where everybody was equal, and that people who have extra talent were weighed down to make them the average level. And this is like a similar situation, but everybody's elevated to a maximum level. And I don't know, I feel like the variety and the uniqueness of each individual makes us who we are, and that having a society with everybody being the same is sort of like robots, I guess, but in a sense that we are living human beings, there is no robotic nature in our lifestyle and like in our mere essence. But it seems like we're sort of going towards that industrial, mechanized, procedural kind of thing, kind of lifestyle with all these, if we were to be living in a society where everybody's perfect.
Yeah, I definitely understand that. And that's really an interesting point, right? If we lose our uniqueness, then what's the definition of unique, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah.
Also,
okay.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
We talked about designer babies and like curing diseases with CRISPR, but have you ever thought about like this creating life with CRISPR, like creating a zygote or creating, I don't know,
A new species almost?
Yeah, a new species.
I think that would be really interesting. It would be very experimental in that we would almost have no idea of knowing what kind of species we'd make, right? It's all trial and error. It's definitely interesting. I feel that like sometimes we'd be able to get successes and make like a really cool species that, you know, might be beneficial to the environment and produce some ecological benefits as well.
Yeah.
But we may also get other species that are just invasive and predatorial and that might even cause our own extinction. So,
yeah, that's true. We don't know the consequences and the repercussions of our own actions.
Right.
Because we don't fully understand CRISPR. Like, we know what it does and we know its basics, but there's still a lot of nuances, if you know what I mean. Like,
exactly. Yeah. There's a lot of uncertainty.
You don't know what exactly it's doing inside. Like, there could
Right.
be mistakes, and we're the research community as a whole is still trying to fix those by improving the techniques.
Right. It's sort of like a machine learning algorithm where it finds these patterns that, aren't easily spotted and that sometimes we may not even know exist, but it still works somehow.
Yeah, that's true. Also, talking about the errors that could happen in creating new species, I think there's also a chance, there probably is a chance of errors happening while editing human life. Like, in one generation, let's say you edit a person, one generation, they'll have like the qualities that they want. Let's say that they are resistant to cancer or some other disease. And then a generation down the line, where his or her kids, we don't know what kind of off-target effects they could have. Like, we don't know the unintended consequences of our actions. Like,
Right. And I think that's also an interesting question, right? What if there's a such a thing as gene compatibility, where some genes might not be compatible with others, but we won't know that until maybe the first or second generation of offspring are produced.
that's true.
Sort of like I forget the word for it, maybe hybrid breakdown or something, where
I think it is hybrid breakdown.
where the offspring are either sterile or just weak, and we won't know that until the offspring's actually produced.
You mean
So
post-zygotic barriers?
yeah, post-zygotic barriers, exactly, yeah.
AP bio knowledge coming in handy there. But all
Very
right.
nice. Okay.
Also,
Yeah, go
I
ahead.
have one question about like the ethics and the social attitude about this issue. So, as I said, just as people are trying to use CRISPR to gain resistance and avoid cancer, parents and couples are also trying to use CRISPR to check if their babies have or their unborn babies have any neurological issues or genetic issues and so on, like such as Down syndrome, Asperger's syndrome, whatever the case may be, some disorder, right?
Oh, yeah, I see what you mean.
And if people start using CRISPR to I eliminate these defects or issues in the genetic in the genome, and people and a lot more babies are starting to come out better, what do you think would happen to the social attitude, or how do you think the people who are currently alive and have been affected with these kind of issues, how would they react to this kind of action?
Right, that's a very good question. First of all, I would say if we were able to, fix these neurological disorders or mental disorders, whatever it may be, I think if we were able to use CRISPR to fix that in a controlled and safe manner, I think that's a really good thing because, we're essentially helping this baby grow up in in a physical state that doesn't put them at a disadvantage. But at the same time, when you do that, the people who are alive right now that have been handicapped or have a mental disorder that they weren't able to fix before they were born with CRISPR, it seems like they would be looked down upon more because now it's like they weren't able to fix what they had because they were just born a few years earlier before CRISPR was invented or something like that.
Yeah, that's true.
I think there's a lot of moral questions that are involved with that. It's definitely an interesting question. I don't know how practical the application of CRISPR to cure diseases would be. Especially in a world where a lot of us do have neurological disorders, and a world that's working to advocate more, I guess disability help and aid for
Yeah,
those
that's
people.
true.
And okay, so I have a question for you. So
Yeah, go
let's
ahead.
talk about the technological aspects really quick, right? So just on a basic level, like CRISPR as a machine itself, as a tool. What do you think that tells us about how far technology can go in the future and how much we can achieve?
Yeah, so I have a story actually of I was reading the history of biology in like the last century, and then I think it was in the mid 20th century or like in the mid 1940s, people thought that proteins were coding the information for living things. Like, they didn't understand how four nucleotides could code the whole genome for every single individual.
Oh, wow.
And then later they found out that they were wrong. That is the answer. Just four nucleotides could, by repeating patterns, mix and matching, base pairing, they could recreate that makes the genome, like that makes the variety that individuals and species have. And since then, we found the structure of DNA. we understood a lot more about how cells replicate, how they use their DNA, signal transduction pathway. We also learned how epigenetics, how proteins can mask certain genes by promoters and like enhancers, transcription factors, etc. And now we have found how to edit the DNA, like actually artificially inducing changes. And
Right.
that is a great achievement. And that just signals how fast we're improving. Just 50 years ago, we didn't know what the structure of DNA looked like. And 50 years later, we know we can edit it to our will. And then 50 years from now, who knows what could happen? We could maybe create, I don't know, it's just so mind-blowing to talk about. Like, we could create clones or better versions or whatever science could bring. But I feel like the results are endless. Like, we could keep on driving
Yeah.
forward.
Yeah, I definitely get that. That's awesome. Yeah, I definitely see that, just in 50 years, like you said, like if we're already here in 50 years from not knowing what a DNA molecule is to now being able to edit it at our will, like just think about what the next 50 years could bring.
Yeah. Also, there could be an issue with that because in the technological and like the computer science industry, there's this thing called, I think it's called Moore's Law,
Right, Moore's
where
Law. Yeah.
I think every 12 years the technology improves by 2 times. So
Yeah,
let's
I
say you're
think
at
it's
like
like yeah, I think it's like 2 years and double the transistor, something like that. Yeah. But yeah, go ahead.
2 years, or maybe, I don't know, some amount of time. It's like within a decade.
Right. Yeah, some yeah.
Let's say a decade. And it says that within a decade, the current technology will double and become twice as fast, twice as efficient, twice as productive, etc. And that phenomena happened for like the last 30, 40 years. And then scientists right now are seeing a dead end to that trend because the resistors are already like at the atomic level. They can't get smaller than that. And scientists and researchers are seeing a dead end. And I feel like that similar thing could happen to the genetic and CRISPR industry, where everything improves drastically and exponentially in the beginning. And in 50 years or 100 years, who knows? Maybe there is no end, but there is a possibility that it could end just like the computer science and the computer science and the
Yeah.
transistor industry right now.
Yeah, I see what you mean. So you're essentially saying there's like two sides to this coin, right? Either it grows exponentially and just keeps going like that, or it grows so fast that it just, asymptotically converges to some terminal point where we won't be able to get any more like new findings or any new technology.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's definitely an interesting idea. Yeah, and especially with CRISPR, right? Like gene editing and things like that. Maybe there's only so many genes that we can find, and there's only so many genes in our, in our body and in the gene pool globally, and maybe we can only edit those, and there's a limit, right? So you never
Yeah,
know.
that's true.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so I think we've covered a lot of good questions about CRISPR. Is there any other questions you'd like to ask?
No, I'm pretty good on the questions asked too. You answered a lot and very effectively
Yeah,
the question.
you as well. Yeah, you did a great job there. I think we've gotten like a lot of questions about CRISPR back and forth, and yeah, so I guess we can, call this Med Talks episode right here.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay, cool. Well, thank you guys for tuning in and listening to this CRISPR episode. I know we've revamped things from the last time. I really hope you enjoy the style. Please like tell us any feedback. You can contact us on our Instagram page, and you can give us any feedback or talk about other topics that you want us to, bring to this podcast and any other questions that you might want us to answer. So, anything like that, please just contact us below. And I hope you've enjoyed this episode. We'll see you guys in the next one. Thank you, Med Talkers.
Yep, see you guys.